The Escondido United Reformed Church is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, we give you a sincere invite to join us for worship on Sundays. 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. Again, that web address is escondidourc.org. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. Here's our program, Abounding Grace.
Giving to every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, I'm thankful you've taken time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. As always, thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you, and we do invite you to go to the website at agradio.org to explore that website to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we are going back to Genesis and looking at the section of Genesis 8:1 through 9:17, where here the Lord is essentially making things new. And remember, if you have been studying with us on Abounding Grace, the book of Genesis, as we have been looking at in the past weeks, you know that in this first flood event, the Lord had put an end to the world that then was. Peter divides human existence into two worlds. He put an end to the world that then was and started over brand new. And it really is a shocking thing when we study Genesis, because by the time we've reached chapter 8, that entire first world had been destroyed. And the effect of that it should have on us today is, my, look at how quickly things spin out of control, and God judged it. And it should lead us to the question, well, why has God been so patient in our day? Why has God not put an end to this sad world when the same rebellion, the same problem of sin, the same kind of escalation of evil, all these things are continuing right in front of us? And anyone who's sensitive at all to our culture realizes that things are just getting worse and worse. Well, here we are, and we can study and look back at the past and see that nothing is really new under the sun, that God did destroy that world that then was. He flooded it with water, and God did start over. And we can learn a lot from that about what is going to happen in the future. The Lord would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and deal definitively with sin. And he tells everyone today, he announces, just like that day, he announces his good gospel, his good news, that whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we are on a recovery mission. We are on a mission of saving people, to get them into the ark, if you will, to bring them into Jesus, that as they believe, they will be sheltered from the wrath to come. And when the new heavens and the new earth finally enters in, there will then, once and for all, never again be any sin or misery or sorrow. All the former things will have passed away once and for all. So I think we should think about Genesis chapter 8 and 9 and consider what the Lord is encouraging the church with, that we would remember his calling for us and that we would look for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness should dwell. So what we have in Genesis 8 and 9 today on Abounding Grace is God showing us his desire to fulfill his plan of sending a redeemer, that he would send Jesus in the fullness of time. And he has made all these provisions in this sad world so that that plan would unfold. I don't know if you've ever done the math, but Noah went in to the ark in the 600th year of his life, in the second month, on the 17th of the month. Well, he comes out in the 601st year of his life. And that means that he was in that ark about a year and 10 days. It was a scary judgment ordeal going through the waters. I can't imagine the struggle Noah had. Here he was, the whole earth is flooded with water, and he's locked into this floating house with all the animals. And the great question that must have surfaced through it all was, will God remember me? That's such an important question, isn't it? I've often thought about that. Will God remember us on that day? You know, a day of judgment is coming, and everyone is going to have to stand before the throne room. Everyone is going to have to stand before God on his mighty throne and give an account. And for all of those who are covered in Christ, will God remember them? What will happen to us? Think of all the billions upon billions of people who've ever existed. Will God remember? What becomes of us? What can we expect? What was God doing during the judgment? I love this narrative of Genesis chapter 8 because it's showing us all of this. At the height, when the waters had reached their highest point on the face of the earth, at the end of the 150 days of the waters triumphing, we read an amazing statement in Genesis 8:1 that God remembered Noah. So when the waters were as high as they could be, God remembered. And what is the text showing us? Well, it's so important to look at this and understand how good God is. In Genesis chapter 6, God told Noah that he was going to destroy all flesh in which was the breath of life. And remember, when God says these things, he's speaking openly to his friends about the judgment to come. If you're a Christian today, God has told you what is going to come to pass. But then he said in verse 18 of chapter 6, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. What an amazing verse. You know, that's the first time in the Bible the word covenant is used. What kind of covenant is this? It's the same kind of covenant that God made with Abraham, that Abraham and his family would be spared from having to face the judgment, he and his sons. And this is the first explicit mention in the Bible of God's gracious covenant with man. God made a promise to Noah. He made a promise that Noah would be saved and Noah would pass through the judgment safely. And what does Scripture highlight as the response of Noah? He believed God. He became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Well, where was that covenant of Noah fulfilled? That's Genesis 8:1. When we read at the height of the judgment ordeal, God remembered Noah right then and there. What happened? You had 150 days of the waters receding, 40 days of waiting, 7 and 7 of waiting, and the narrative is leaving us on the edge of our seats because Noah opens up the window of the ark and the raven kept going back. He sent out birds, kept going back to and fro. And remember, the dove would go, and he would bring back an olive leaf. And Noah understood that new growth and new life had come. And what does that mean? That we read in verse 14 that the earth was dried, and God said to Noah, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives. God brought them through. But the question I want us to think about here on Abounding Grace a minute is this. What was God doing as the waters reached their peak and he remembered Noah? Well, what has Genesis told us? The New Testament has told us to study the world that then was, to understand the world that now is and what will happen to this world. Don't you want to know that, dear listener? Don't you want to understand and know what is going to happen? What is shortly going to take place? What is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in all of his glory and he judges this sad world? And as Peter says, the whole thing is burnt up. The heavens, what does it say? That the earth and all that is in it and the works that are in it will be burnt up. He will melt them. And what's going to happen? What can we expect? There have been so many approaches throughout history, and especially in our times, of scaring people, and so that it becomes very complex. The scriptures are not complex about this. The scriptures are very clear about this. Genesis is helping us to understand by what happened to that world and what was recreated, what is going to happen to this world at the very end. We looked at the corruption of the last days in the time of Noah. We looked at the final judgment. What was the goal of it all? It's not judgment, dear listener. God desires to bring his people through the judgment. For what reason? That they would reach the new heavens and the new earth, and that they would live with him and enjoy him forever. What was God doing? Well, as Noah was at the height of the floodwaters, as they had reached their height, and there he was sitting in the ark, what happened? Well, all the language used in Genesis 8 is repeated from the creation event of Genesis chapter 1. It's really remarkable if you study this out. At the original creation, you'll remember that God created a firmament in the midst of the waters to divide the waters from the waters. And so the flood was a massive undoing of that. The waters came together. That's what Peter says. So think about Genesis 8. What we have described in the 150 days is that the waters returned, all picturing for us a kind of recreation. And who shows up again? Who shows up? Well, you'll notice in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 8 that God made a wind to pass over the earth. That is the word ruach in the Hebrew. It's the very same word for spirit of Genesis 1, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Well, here in Genesis 8, was the Spirit hovering again, making the waters to subside and return to their place. And so what follows is God telling us that he is starting over in a recreation event. And all the same themes are found again. The waters are gathered into one place where they should go. The dry land appears. The mountains appear. And you'll remember that even the birds are now being sent out of the ark. And in verses 13 and 14, we have that the ground was dry, just like day 6 of creation. What happened on day 6 of creation? Man and the animals came forth. Well, that's exactly what happens here. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that you may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. They were filling the earth. You have a recreation event. They passed through the waters of judgment and they came to God's new earth. Now, do you see the connections, dear listener? This is Genesis chapter 8. And what is the Lord telling us? When he comes in all of his glory, the believer in Jesus will be sheltered in him. He has entered him. Jesus said, come to me, enter through me. I'm the only way. I'm the door. I'm the ark. This is Jesus' message all over the Gospels. And what did the Old Testament always say about this? Isaiah picked up that language of the flood and it used it. Come, my people. Enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And what happens? Oh, this is going to be a terrible day for the unbeliever. All the mocking, all the rejection, all the continued turn away. Everyone who says that the Lord doesn't exist. Everyone who continues to practice things that are against God's word, and they've tried to justify. I mean, think how much is justified all over the news today. And everyone says, oh, don't tell me how to live. I can live any way that I want. I can do whatever makes me feel good. Not so. A judgment is coming, and God will judge these things. We have to say that today. It's so important for people to hear that. But God has offered a way of escape. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men, said Paul. There is a way of escape. And if you will hear, if your ears are open to hear, if the Spirit's working in your heart, the plea from the Lord is come, enter the chambers right now until the final indignation is passed, because the Lord is coming. Now, what happened? What does the New Testament say? After the great judgment happens and those who don't believe are cast into the lake of fire, what will then happen? Well, this is Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. All of this is meant to encourage us of the ultimate goal of things. Oh, dear listener, God is ready. He is ready to make all things new. He is ready to put an end to all this misery and sadness, so that when the last of his elect come in, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, the door will be shut, we will pass through the judgment, and we will enter a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness shall dwell. We get the earth, a brand new earth, if you will, purged, and a new heavens will come down, and it's all ours. It's kind of sad that we hold on so tightly to this world. And the story of the flood and God's covenant of grace is shown to everyone. Here is where your Bible starts shrinking. Everywhere over the scriptures, this story is told. This story of the progression of sin and God's people being in bondage in this world and him freeing them from their sin and bringing them through the judgment and bringing them safe to the other side in a brand new resurrection so that they would live forever with him. That's a single story, all because of the blood and the righteousness of his son, Jesus. And this was told at the Red Sea. Remember what happened. Here Noah has passed through the waters, and Noah's brought out safely on the other side. He has gone out of the ark. He and his sons and the animals, they have gone out and they filled the land. Brand new. Well, what does Noah do after this? He builds an altar to the Lord. You realize this is the whole story of Israel. God heard their groaning. God remembered them. Same word. And the same language of Noah, go out, fill the land, is the same language that God gave to Israel. Rise, go out from among my people. And remember what they said, both you and the children of Israel, go and serve the Lord. Take your flocks and your herds and be gone. That's the same language as Noah coming out of the ark. So God raised up Moses, and the whole flood scene is reenacted at the Red Sea. Remember what happened? Moses stretched his hand over the sea. The waters parted. That magnificent body of water, all of a sudden, the Lord caused the sea to go back with a strong ruach, the Spirit. And the sea was made into dry land. The waters were divided. And so they were separated from the waters. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and their left. And as they started entering, a giant cloud hovers over them like a canopy and passes them safely through the waters. Well, as soon as they made it to the other side, remember what happened? Moses raised his hand and the waters returned and it drowned all the enemies of Israel. That's the flood event. Moses then sings a song. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He's my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. He has chosen captains. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. You see, dear listener, this is the story of the Christian gospel. What has the Lord promised to those who love him? That he's going to pass you through the judgment safely. And when you reach to the other side, you will be gathered to the Lord in a brand new resurrected body. And you will then enter the eternal city, no more to know these things. And you will sing to the Lord. You will sing the song of the Lamb. You will worship the Lord. And that's exactly what Noah does here. Noah offers a smooth aroma to the Lord in sacrificing a burnt offering. And I love this section because God smells that and his wrath is completely pacified against sin. God would over and over teach Israel to do this, to offer up sacrifices. And it all anticipated the coming of Jesus, that he would offer up his life and satisfy the wrath of God against our sin. The announcement to the ends of the earth is, there is a way today that this God can be pleased. Even though you, dear listener, have the terrible problem of sin from your birth, even though you deserve judgment, God can be satisfied. God can smile upon you. When you believe in his Son, you have everything you need. And so God smells the sacrifice that Noah offers. And what's the first thing he says? I'm not doing this again. I love this, and we'll close with this today on Abounding Grace. When the Lord smelled the smooth-smelling aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Never will I again strike down every living creature as I have done, even though man is this bad, said the Lord. I'm not going to keep on doing this. I'm going to allow my gospel plan to unfold. I'm not going to continue to wipe out the earth because it escalates so quickly into sin. God's goal was to send Jesus, to send his Son. And before the flood, things spinned quickly out of control. God says, now I'm going to restrain this. And he begins to make a promise in verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, it's not going to cease. I'm going to continue to provide the earth with food. I'm going to be committed to feed the earth. There will be seasons. You don't have to worry that the earth is going to fall apart, dear listener. God says, I won't let it. There will be the normal course of day and night until the end. It was so pleasing to the Lord that he spoke in his heart. He was grieved to his heart before the flood. And now, receiving Noah's sacrifice, he's pleased to his heart. And God says, I'm not going to continue to do this. I will never again curse the ground, even though man is evil from his youth. I will never destroy every living thing as I've done. While earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, summer and day and night shall not cease. And so then he looks at Noah and he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I'm going to continue to bless life. Every time we see a baby born, we should see God's goodness continuing life. And what else do we see? I'm going to put a fear of you on the creation, the animals and the birds. God says, I'm going to intensify the dread of the animal world toward you. You shall exercise dominion in the earth. And then the Lord says, I'm not going to allow men to lawlessly take the lives of other men. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made them. There's not going to be lawless aggression in society. I'm going to preserve a justice system. And then he makes something beautiful here. To make his plan of salvation unfold to the ends of the earth, he makes another covenant. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. God had just made a covenant with the earth that never again would he cut off the earth with the waters of the flood. Never again would there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, I'm going to flood this earth with common blessings so that my gospel can reach to the ends of the earth unhindered. And then God does this. I'm setting a sign of the bow in the sky to remind me of what I've just said. It's interesting that all Near Eastern representation of kings, when they were ready to destroy, the bow would be fully drawn above their heads to shoot at people. Notice what God just did. God said, I'm setting my bow in the sky in relaxed horizontal position to tell you that I'm not against you, but that you can know that for the time being, I will not continue to destroy you. Every time we see the rainbow, we should remember that the Lord said, I'm not going to flood this earth again. God has stayed this sad world for thousands of years. God has been extremely long-suffering, dear listener. Every time the farmer brings in his crops, every time the seasons change, every morning you rise up and see the sun, you should remember one thing. God has been long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Every time a child is born, you see the image of God continued. Every time you sit at a meal and enjoy it, you see God filling your hearts with food and gladness. Every time you see a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, every time you see justice in society, God is continuing to uphold heaven and earth. Every time you see a bow in the sky in relaxed horizontal position, we are taught that God is still being patient with sinners so that people would come and be saved, that the gospel of his son would be announced to the ends of the earth. And so I ask the question to your listener today, do you see who's holding all this stuff up? He doesn't have to. God can put an end to this world right now if he wants. But today he's telling you, come to his son before the day of wrath. And he's made a promise. All who believe in Jesus shall be sheltered from the wrath to come and will be saved, and they will enter the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell. Dear listener, come this day to Jesus Christ. Well, we consider it a great privilege to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you, and we ask that in response that you would just at least go to the website and visit that website, explore who we are, what we believe, and send us a note, and also download the podcasts, which are there free of charge. agradio.org is that web address. Thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.